Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg, that's me, ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This is the Eye on Travel podcast with CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg.
Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here, and welcome to this edition of the Eye on Travel podcast. So what's the fastest growing aviation region in the world? That answer might surprise you, but it's the Middle East. It's also the fastest growing region in terms of tourism, and at the center of it, Saudi Arabia. I sat down with two veteran airline executives, one from the historic Saudi airline, Saudia, and the other from a brand new airline, Riyadh Air, to talk about the rapid expansion and explosion of tourism, not just in the aviation sector, but in the region itself. First up, a veteran airline executive, Tony Douglas, now running perhaps the most well-funded airline startup in history, Riyadh Air.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
I'm pleased to be joined by someone who I've known for a long time. He started, if I just do your entire resume, Tony, we will be out of time. But let's start with Heathrow. You ran that small little airport. Then you went to?
Well, Peter, you're absolutely right. Even before that, I used to run British Aerospace Regional Aircraft back in the day.
The old BAE 146s.
Beautiful aircraft. Avro RJ, Heathrow, Abu Dhabi Airport. I'll miss a few out. Her Majesty's Ministry of Defence Procurement. So everything from aircraft carriers, F-35B jet fighters, to Etihad, of course, big transformation program at Etihad.
Right, the airline based in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, and now the absolute privilege to be involved in Riyadh Air.
And of course, Tony's last name is Douglas. And he's the CEO probably of the largest startup ever in the history of the world. How many planes have you ordered?
So I'm not sure the history of the world, but for sure, certainly.
Trust me on this one.
I like the idea. I like the sentiment behind that, Peter. But no, certainly since Qatar Airways within our region, there's not been a startup of this scale. Earlier on, we made our first wide-body announcement. It was 72 787-9s. 72. And we have concluded the campaign for the narrow-body order.
When you think about the number of aircraft that you're ordering, let's put this in some sort of historical perspective and context. There already is an airline in Saudi, an international airline called Saudia. It's been around for a long time. And they fly to the U.S. They fly to many number of U.S. gateways. Why Riyadh Air?
So it's a great question, and I think it starts with an answer that puts into perspective the landmass of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The home city of Saudia, you're right there, over 75 years of history with Saudia, amazing airline. But their home base is Jeddah, and the capital city, Riyadh, is where we will operate out of. In terms of flying time, that's the equivalent of flying from New York City to Charleston, South Carolina. It's the distance of flying from London Heathrow to Rome. So it's a long ways apart because the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, two-thirds the size of Western Europe, biggest population within the Arabian Peninsula, and average age only 29. There is a thirst to travel. It's a G20 country, the fastest growing economy within the G20, and guess what? We're simply not well enough connected at the moment. The job of Riyadh Air is to fix that really quickly.
And of course, the pipeline for staffing, you have a labor pool that you can play with.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, the mandate from His Royal Highness is linked to the 2030 vision. There's 13 pillars of that. A lot to do with tourism, a lot to obviously do with travel, and any modern economy needs global connectivity. All the reasons why Riyadh Air has been established. We will need to connect to over 110 cities within our first 5 years. That's never been done before.
That's rather ambitious.
That is seriously ambitious. Well, let me go back. Absolutely necessary.
Let me go back to an experience that I remember back in 1978, when the Americans decided on deregulation. The airline was called Braniff, and they decided because they could fly anywhere they wanted to, they were going to fly everywhere they could possibly fly. And they announced something like 62 new routes in a day. And, of course, they went under very quite quickly after that. But, I mean, they didn't have the planes. They were wet leasing planes. It was crazy. So I hope you've learned from that. I mean, you've got 100 and how many places you've come at? 100 and
so we'll connect to over 110. But I guess where the difference is first of all, we're talking about the fastest growing economy in the G20.
Right.
We're talking about a huge population where, frankly, demand is far in excess of supply. At the moment, for example, you can't fly direct from Riyadh to Tokyo in Japan or Sydney in Australia or Shanghai. This is crazy. It's unacceptable. And the mandate that His Royal Highness has quite wisely put out there is we need to have a absolutely world-class full-service carrier. The brand is Riyadh. The brand is Riyadh. The brand is Riyadh. It proudly takes the name of the city into international airports all around the world. And that's why we've designed liveries that look so remarkably different. If people go on to riyadhair.com, they know
the plane. Then.
They'll see the aircraft. Looks more like a billionaire's G650.
You know, it's interesting because most people, if you ask them what's the largest airport in the world, they would never guess that it's Riyadh. But in terms of actual size and scale, it is.
So we've got a wonderful landmass, and there's a big plan to develop that out, consistent with the growth aspirations of Riyadh Air. And goes back to your earlier question, you know, the reason why Saudia is so important to all of this as well is right now, all of the cities I used in my examples before, when I need to travel there on business or on leisure, I normally have to go via Qatar and go on Qatar Airways or Dubai and go on Emirates. Now, if you flip it the other way around, this is not only just about connecting our citizens to the world, it's about connecting the world to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And when people
and right
see,
now you don't have that connectivity.
That's right. So when people see amazing destination attractions like Alula, Red Sea Resort, Daria Gate,
they have to come in on another carrier.
The first question they ask themselves, of course, is how do I get there easily? And back to Riyadh Air will be a big part of that solution.
Because you're going to do long haul nonstop.
So we'll be doing long haul non-stop. We'll be connecting, I think it's fair to say, nearly all the capital cities in Europe, the kind of classic northeastern USA cities and Canada, all of the major Far East cities, Indian subcontinent, Central Asia, GCC. But we'll also be flying domestically because, as I said before, Kingdom's two-thirds the size of Europe.
So here's the question. I say this to you with all of your experience at all the other airlines, because you've seen the trends, you've seen the changes. In the post-COVID world, we've seen travel demand at unexpected levels. We never thought it would come back this fast or this strong, or it would be sustained this long. Can this demand be sustained?
So maybe I'm a born optimist, but I remember going on the record.
Way, I'm a bruised optimist, so.
But I remember going on the record, during COVID and predicting a phenomenon called revenge tourism. And I said it would go off like a fire hydrant, and it's easy to be Professor Hindsight, but I think we've all seen plenty of revenge tourism. And that's a function of, even when people were saying the digital world will give experiential opportunity not to have to physically go and see things.
Not true.
Not true at all. What has it done? It's fueled the desire to want to go see, touch, taste, smell, more so than ever before. We live within 6 flying hours of 2/3 of the world's population. It is predominantly a young population. And quite frankly, Peter, we don't see any sign, any time for a long time, demand slowing down.
All right, well, thank you, Professor Hindsight. But let me ask you another question, because it's one thing to say the demand is there, but we've also seen airfares at near historic highs on a global level. At a certain point, the question is, can those fares be sustained? Because people run out of money.
So look, there's been a fundamental pivot in terms of ticket pricing post-pandemic to pre-pandemic. I think it starts actually with pre-pandemic. In reality, they were artificially low. It was a race to the bottom, and in real terms, they'd actually deflated over the decade before. I think there's a fair argument that obviously at the moment, because demand far outstrips supply, we've seen classic Keynesian economics in play, where ticket pricing have actually adjusted to give the best yield performance in certainly a generation. That won't last forever. Competition is the solution to everything. And whilst we're not here to compete with the transfer hubs in places like Dubai and the likes of Doha, we're here primarily to give service into the kingdom, because right now, 93% of all the traffic into the kingdom is point to point.
Whereas Dubai, it's not.
It's literally 80% transfer, 70 or 80%. So because of the size of the population, because the size of the demand, because the way the economy is growing, this is a case of catch up first and then staying on pace with a really fast growing economy like the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Great fun.
I always try to figure out where people are going and how much they want to spend in those locations based on one thing. I check with FedEx. I want to know, how's their shipping going? Because if their shipping's going well, it means people are buying stuff, right? FedEx is basically saying goodbye to a lot of pilots right now. Their forecasts for the fall and for the spring are terrible, which means people made a choice, material goods or travel. And they made a choice for travel.
I think that's clearly the case. It's not showing any real sign of letting up in terms of forward ticket sales in our part of the world. I go back to what I said before, demand far outstrips supply. And for example, if you look at the Dubai to Riyadh sector, in terms of the ticket yield per kilometre, it's the highest performing in the whole of the world. Why is that the case? Because many of the financial services industries, professionals live in Dubai, but all the action's in Riyadh, and that's going to continue.
So bottom line is, you've ordered all these planes. You're not starting tomorrow. You're not going to actually be airborne with an operation till about the second quarter of 2025. I've got to ask the self-serving question. I'm giving you a chance to be self-serving now. All right, you ready? What is going to make your airline different?
So I think there's a really crisp answer to that question.
Which and self-serving,
starts,
of course.
Yeah, of course. But it starts with, we have no legacy. So the gift of all gifts is, it's a blank sheet of paper.
Right.
and we are not in any way held back by legacy systems, in particular legacy protocols, and all of the things that, for good reason, that have been around our industry for such a long time. I joke with many of my colleagues, I've only got one qualification, and it's a PhD in how not to do it. I really hope that's going to come in useful this time around. But what we're going to do in terms of back to the brand is Riyadh, the brand is Riyadh, the brand is Riyadh. What makes that difference? One will be, we will be the world's first true digital native as an airline. The guest will interact with us more in common with how they interact with the likes of Amazon, with Spotify, with Uber, with Noon.com, than any legacy air carrier, number one. The onboard digital experience we'll be able to give will be fundamentally different because, again, we don't start with a legacy. So digital native. The second part of it, we will have an absolutely obsessional attention to detail with guest experience and that incredible warm welcome of Saudi hospitality. And the third and final pillar is, as opposed to a bolt-on appendage after the effect, we'll start off having as an input, we will stand out as being a thought leader when it comes to commercial aviation, environmental sustainability. So those three things, digital native, obsessional attention to detail with guest experience, and an environmentally responsible airline will be what will set us apart.
So what you're saying, Tony, is that because you're not legacy, you can't do worse.
So that's precisely the point. You know, many of us, me included, I did a big transformation program with Etihad. And many of my colleagues have been working on how you add modern technology to legacy systems. It can be done, but you know what? It's not easy. And lots of people have spent an awful lot of money with that ambition in mind and have found it unnecessarily difficult. Now, given that from ground zero, we have an opportunity to build as we mean to go on using available technology today, we think that this is a great opportunity and a real gift. But the important point, quite interestingly, is as follows. I mentioned before, we've got a very young population in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, average age 29. It's also got the highest per capita penetration of Apple usage in the world. So our citizens demand a digital native. They have to have a digital native. And as a consequence, what we'll go into with that no legacy situation is serving people with that obsessive attention to detail with a digital twist.
So what you're saying, Tony, is that your passion will have the highest penetration of Apple AirTags on their bags.
I think that's probably safe to predict as well.
Before we finish, one last question, and that is, given your experience in the airport business and in the airline business, what's the one overriding lesson you've learned not to do as you're starting this airline?
I think in terms of what to do, this might sound...
What not to do.
Yeah, what not to do might sound a little bit closer to the, you know, the leadership, the soft and fluffy end of it in the minds of some people. It's all about culture. So I'm talking about an obsessive attention to guest experience, environmental sustainability, responsibility, and being a digital native. That has to be in the DNA of all of our people from the absolute get-go. Now, as a startup again, it's actually easier when there's only tens of us, then hundreds, then thousands before there's tens of thousands, than taking a legacy organization and trying to pivot a culture that doesn't necessarily have all of those things. And let's face it, there's a whole bunch of airlines out there that don't have an obsessive attention to detail when it comes to guest experience.
My thanks to Tony. I've known Rasim Dimitrov for a number of years. I first met him when he was working at Qatar Airways, then Air Italy, Canada's WestJet, and now he's the Chief Customer Experience Officer at Saudia.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Every day, our world gets a little more connected, but a little further apart. But then, there are moments that remind us to be more human.
Thank you for calling Amica Insurance.
Hey, I was just in an accident.
Don't worry, we'll get you taken care of.
At Amica, we understand that looking out for each other isn't new or groundbreaking. It's human. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Imagine a kingdom that was closed to the outside world for 79 years, and about 4 years ago they decided, let's open it up all at once. And they did. And anybody listening to the show right now, if you show up, you get a visa. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to get. And the most amazing part of this is, you know, we do stories all the time about hidden gems. All of Saudi Arabia is a hidden gem because it was closed, literally closed for 79 years. The one time I got in, which was not by design, was in 1990. I was covering Gulf War I. I was in Dharan. They had to let me in, right? And that was crazy, right? But then I came back and back and back. And we did, in fact, for those of you listening, you can go to Amazon and see our one-hour special called Hidden Saudi Arabia, which we shot. It's still on the air and it's great. But now the whole idea is airlift. How are you going to get there? People don't realize that the airport in Riyadh is the largest airport in the world. It's got that much square footage to play with. And most people might remember that the national airline is called Saudia. And now, a lot of change happening throughout the kingdom. There's another airline starting called Air Riyadh, but Saudia is also going to be changing. And joining me now is the Chief Customer Service Officer, an old buddy of mine from the days of Air Italy and Qatar, right? Rostam Dimitrov, yes. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. It's so good to be with you.
And you're the Chief what?
Customer Experience Officer.
Okay, so let me explain my experience on Saudia 10 years ago. It was not such a great experience because, and by the way, I don't drink alcohol, so I'm not your major problem. But the point is, you were basically flying to Saudi from New York. You were flying to Saudi from Los Angeles. I took the flight from Los Angeles. But it wasn't, you know, your competitors at the time, one of whom you just used to work for, Qatar, were like, they were really upping the ante in terms of luxury, upping the ante in terms of the business class service. Now, you're about to do just that, aren't you?
Yes, we are. There's a lot of changes going on in the kingdom, and a lot of changes obviously happening in Saudi as an airline. There's been a complete rebrand that took place. It was announced on September 30th. It's a whole new image. It's a whole new look. It's a whole new feel of the airline. And that new look and feel, it's retaining the old, what has a lot of value in terms of our logo, in terms of our brand, but also embracing the new and the change in the country.
And the thing is, it's your route network. It's your route network as well.
Yes, we're growing. We're adding new destinations. We're expanding. We're ordering new aircraft. You will see new cabins, new products on board our aircraft. You will see a lot of innovation. There is a total transformation in terms of the digital journey for the customer, but there is also transformation in every corner of the airline. It's almost the new Saudia, and the new Saudia is the new kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
And of course, if you take a look at where you are geographically positioned, you're in the perfect position to go anywhere long haul.
Yes. And not only that, if you look at it, we're only 3 hours from Jeddah to Istanbul. We're only a few hours to Europe. You can go anywhere with Saudi with an ease.
Although, let's face it, up until recently, your connectivity wasn't really good.
Now this has been redone. As you mentioned earlier, the country is open. It's the easiest place to visit in the region right now. It's the easiest place to get a visit to. And it's one of the most friendly places. Saudi Arabian hospitality is enriched for hundreds of years. People are welcoming. Remember, Jeddah. Jeddah is where all the pilgrims come to for Hajj and Umrah.
Sure.
And the Saudi people have always welcomed foreigners and visitors to the country with open arms.
But you know why I go to Jeddah? Not to go to Mecca. I go to Jeddah to go diving.
And it's the most, if you see what is happening in the country.
That Red Sea is unreal.
Yes, yes.
And we've done stories at the Red Sea Project. They've really gotten their act together. 90 uncharted islands that nobody even knew about, that they're now working hard to make sure that they don't overdevelop.
And this is the beauty of Saudi Arabia. We're not just a flashy city or a shopping center. We're actually a country with a lot of heritage and history. You can see the sea, you can see the mountains, the
desert.
Wait a
second, are you trying to tell me you're not Dubai?
I'm just saying we are Saudi Arabia.
But the bottom line is you're trying to learn from the mistakes of others.
I think we're trying to design our own journey. For us, it's more important we don't look at others. For us, we have enough heritage and history, and we know who we are as a country. And I think we would like to open our windows, our doors to the world, and bring the world to Saudi Arabia, and also take Saudi Arabia to the world. We are not following anybody else. We are crafting our own way, our own model of what Saudi Arabia is all about.
You know, we looked at the dynamics of travel and trends in the post-COVID world, and many of us were surprised. Not because the demand was strong. We always knew the demand was strong.
Yeah.
But we never knew it was that strong. And we never knew it was going to come back as fast as it did. Not business travel, but leisure travel.
Yes.
So the real question is, if leisure travel is still leading the way, how are you structuring your model? Are you a business class airline or are you a leisure airline? Are you a high-end airline? Are you an ultra-low-cost carrier? That I don't think you are.
No, we're not. But we do have a subsidiary, which is a low-cost carrier, Flyadeal. So we do offer that service within our family. As an airline, we're a global airline, and for us, we try to take the Saudi hospitality to the skies and to the world. We offer premium cabins, we offer economy class cabins, we offer full service.
How's the Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi is good, and actually, we'll be making an announcement soon where we will be completely remodeling and revamping our connectivity on board our aircraft starting June, July. It's still a closed guarded secret, so I'm sure soon it will be announced, but it will be something remarkable.
You know, it's interesting. In the United States, as you know, Delta Airlines got smart, and they offered Wi-Fi free to everybody. And you know what? The needle moved. People started booking Delta just because they didn't want to get nickeled and dimed at another airline.
Yes. To do that, you need to have the right technology. It's not only about having a marketing gimmick where you say it's free Wi-Fi and then you don't have the capacity and the speed to offer it. When you launch a connectivity and you say we do offer a connectivity, it has to be the right connectivity. And I think if we see each other in June, July, when we start equipping our aircraft with the latest technology, then I will be able to really showcase to you what the best connectivity is all about. For us, it's not just a marketing gimmick. We really want to offer the best connectivity on board our aircraft.
And are there routes right now that you've got your eyes on in the United States that you're not flying to yet that you want to go to?
They are. Unfortunately, I cannot say too much about it now. We need to surprise our competitors. And with our new product and services, I think we will really up the competition. We're designing new cabins. We are actually retrofitting some of our aircraft. You will see our Airbus 330s completely retrofitted, our 777s and our new 787s.
These are the 787-900s?
Yes, they will come with a cabin that I think many of our competitors will be surprised to see.
Go ahead.
I have to surprise you because I need to invite you again to talk just about the new cabins.
I will happy to do that. But if you take a look at your route network now, you're flying from New York, you're flying from Los Angeles. Where else in the United States?
Washington.
And Washington.
Yes.
So that's only three cities. So you're going to add more.
We will be expanding. Obviously, we're looking to add more. And we're also looking to increase the frequencies and capacity to some of our networks and gateways that we operate into the U.S. now. We're quite established in some of those. We've been flying to those gateways for a while. We're also launching new flights in other North American cities. And we will be launching new flights to Europe. We recently launched South Africa again, so we're very happy to go back to South Africa, and it's been a really good route for us. We're expanding in Europe, and we're expanding in the subcontinent in Asia.
Now, what's interesting about where you're located is, if you take a look at Dubai, right, 85%, I'm probably even low on this, 85% of the people who fly to Dubai are not going to Dubai. They're connecting on. You're basically point-to-point right now.
But we want to bring people to Jeddah. We want to bring people to Saudi Arabia. And Peter, this is what is very near and dear to me. I'm new to Saudi Arabia myself. I lived in Saudi Arabia as a child for a very short period of time.
You've lived everywhere.
I have. Yeah, I've been sort of like a nomad in a way.
I mean, let's go through your CV here. My goodness. I knew you at Air Italy.
Yes. First Qatar before Air Italy.
First Qatar, then Air Italy.
Then Qatar.
Then Qatar.
Also, I was in one of the projects Qatar was running with Rwanda Air as well. I spent some time. But for me right now, I think because of what is happening in Saudi Arabia, as you mentioned earlier, people were intrigued with Saudi Arabia. What people knew about Saudi Arabia was only for anything they heard in the news or read in the media. Now we want people to come and explore, see the country. It's a big country. I don't think a lot of people realize how big Saudi Arabia is. And the country has so much to offer. Just as you mentioned, perfect diving, swimming, resorts on the sea. You can go to the mountains. You can go to the desert. There's so many things to explore. And my goal here is also, yes, people transit through Saudi Arabia. I would love to see people enter Saudi Arabia and explore the city as well. So you will see a lot of new things that will come as products within Saudi, where we will be welcoming, inviting people to enter the country.
And spend some time.
Spend some time. Meet the people.
Well, see, that brings up one more point. A number of airlines right now, as a promotion, are saying, if you fly, let's say, from Los Angeles to Riyadh, you can go onward with us for free. Or we'll give you a three-day tour. You know, they do that in Turkey and they do that in Portugal, right? Are you thinking about doing that?
Yes, many of these products will come to us and even some new products. We definitely, a goal for us is not only to have people transit through the country, but to visit Saudi Arabia. The country has so much to offer. And you know what is the most amazing thing, Peter? People are so humble in Saudi Arabia. People are actually down to earth. I have been completely, positively surprised of how humble people are. They're down to earth, they're welcoming, they're open. Saudi people work. You can find Saudi people work in every sector. They're hard workers, they're not shy. And for me, it has been a great experience. You know, I have to be very honest with you. I've worked in the Gulf for a long time. In Saudi Arabia, I don't feel like a foreigner. I feel as a person who have been embraced by the local society, and I live in a local area. No matter where I go, whether it's Starbucks, whether it's to the local store, I'm always welcome.
Did you have to mention Starbucks?
I spend a lot of money in Starbucks over the years.
That's globalization for you. Oh, my God.
Yes.
You were doing so well until you got to the Starbucks.
Yeah. People are humble, and you know, and they're very welcoming. I have to be honest with you. You know, when I first arrived to Jeddah, talking about Starbucks, I went to a local Starbucks, and it was all Saudi young people working inside. And I was trying to order a drink, and obviously I couldn't see it in the menu, different Starbucks than what I know. And they made it for me. They asked me, what is it? And it was a misto. And they made it for me. And you know, I actually drive to that Starbucks now, and that's my loyalty to them. And the moment I park my car, they're waving from the inside and starting my drink. And you know, that hospitality is what we want to show to the world. I want people to come to visit Saudi Arabia, to see how friendly people are, how welcoming people are, and what the country has to offer.
I'm looking forward to seeing the new revamped Saudi.
You will. You will see over the next 24 months, you will see very interesting things happening in Saudi Arabian Airlines.
My thanks to Rostan Dimitrov and to Tony Douglas. And my thanks to you for listening to this Eye on Travel podcast. For more conversations with the global leaders in travel, as well as answers to your travel questions, be sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. And for all the breaking travel news, and there's a lot of it, just log on to petergreenberg.com.
The Ion Travel Podcast is produced by Amanda Morris and Anthony Protis Chung. For more content from Peter Greenberg and the Ion Travel team, visit petergreenberg.com. Ion Travel is a production of CBS News Radio.
If you like Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.